702 and Cape Talk.
World of Work.
And I think the topic for today is perfect, given that this afternoon we're going to be listening to the budget, because it has to do with productivity. How do we increase our productivity in the workplace? Because we can do all of this crunching of the aggregate data at a macro level to try and understand the structure of the economy. But really what it all boils down to ultimately is what each one of us as individual economic agents do when you wake up in the morning and you have 10, 12, however many hours, if you're lucky enough to be employed, firstly, how to make sure that you are as productive as possible. So what you do as an individual in the workplace is really the ultimate determinant of what the state of our economy will be. So although we're going to be focusing on you as an individual this half an hour, I think this balances nicely the macroeconomic conversation we've just had in the last hour. And joining me for this conversation is managing consultant from PeopleSolve HR, Lizette Bester. Lizette, good morning.
Good morning, Eusebius, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this conversation in part because I wonder how the conversation even lands for people in the way that I framed it. Many of us would like to do as little as possible and still get paid as much money as possible. So to be told to get close to the wireless because you're about to have a conversation about how to increase your productivity may not be the conversation that most people were hoping to wake up to today.
I think, so I would agree with you. I think that's the nature of human beings. We want to do as little for as much money as possible. But what I find is that people often say, I've got so much to do and so little time. And that goes not just for you as a human being in the workplace, but also as humans. You know, I believe we're integrated human beings. We have a home life and we've got a work life and we have to contribute to our society and the economy. And so people often feel very overwhelmed with all of these tasks that they have to do. You know, they need to find solutions and it can feel quite overwhelming. And the problem is if you don't do it in a measured and a scientific, let's call it a scientific way, you can actually burn out and you can just get to a point where you can do nothing. So for me, I think the first message I want to give to people is you need to find what works for you. So I can give some pointers and some guidelines, but you must know yourself, know what works, know what the confines of your home life, your work life, know your boss, know the dynamic nature of your environment so that you can then work within that. Because people will often say, well, you know, you give me all of these pointers, but you just don't know my boss. And so I often say to people, well, you know your boss. And therefore, whatever you do in trying to become more productive, work within those confines.
When we talk about productivity, what are we talking about? Are we talking about meeting your KPIs? Are we talking about being employee of the month?
So, I mean, at a very sort of basic level, obviously it's about performing the duties that are assigned to you in the best possible way. You know, and if your company uses a performance management system, then potentially it could be a rating of a 3 or a 4 or a 5 that you're aiming for. But I think for me, it's a much wider conversation than that. Mm-hmm. It's about saying, I need to do certain things. I need to deliver certain things within my workplace. And how do I get to that point? Because my contribution bundled with my colleague's contribution in my department will contribute to the overall success of the organization. And obviously, if we talk about those bigger issues, it's if the organization continues to be successful, then there is a high likelihood that my employment is as secure as it can be in the modern world. And so for me, that's what's really important around productivity. And the things that people really battle with within the workplace is, you know, those classic, those planning and prioritizing things that says, what do I do first? And we all have those to-do lists that are a little bit more like a grocery shopping list than it is a to-do list. And so I often say, start there. Start by planning and prioritizing and saying, what is it that I need to achieve? And then work from that space and say, okay, now, I don't want to feel overwhelmed, as we often do. How do I get around that? And my approach is ask why. Why do I need to do something so that there is something that says, if this is the why, I can now go and look at what is the how of getting this thing done and delivered.
Yeah, the reason I was asking what productivity is partly because I want to be clear what it is that we are setting as a goal. You know what I mean? There is outcomes that we are expected to perform as employees, and that's important because that's what you are contracted to do. And then there's a conversation around a word related to productivity. And maybe we can tease out this relationship right now, Lizette, which has to do with efficiencies. In other words, what is the best way to go about achieving that which I can, which I'm expected to do? And I'm a big believer in that regard in a number of practical things. One of them is there's no virtue in spending 10 hours at the office. My colleagues know that. If you can learn how to work smart, how to be efficient, for example, then you can free up your time to do other things and you can still be productive in terms of contributing towards whatever the value proposition is that is the basis of the business in which you are finding yourself as an employee. And I just wanted us to talk through that. You know, how much of this conversation is also about individual South African employees learning to be far more efficient in how we go about our day as opposed to clocking in and clocking out as people used to do in the 19th century.
Absolutely. And I always go back, and people might think that, you know, it's a little bit old and it's not that cutting edge, but I go back to Covey and the Seven Habits, where he says, you know, you need to go and determine where do you spend your energy. And a lot of us get stuck in that urgent and important, where everything is a crisis. And so efficient people are those people that say, I can't just get stuck there. I need to also focus my energy on those things that are not urgent but also important. And then how do I use my resources so that I can get it done in the shortest, simplest, and most effective manner? And that's, unfortunately, a lot of the time we do get stuck in crisis management mode. And so it doesn't get any better the longer we get stuck there, you know, and that's when you get someone that is at the office at 7 and they leave the office at 9 o'clock tonight. And then in 3 years' time, they have a heart attack because of all of the stress.
Absolutely.
So it's really about saying, how do I do things in the most efficient manner and also taking responsibility for some of those elements, you know. So like you say, I just being there and clocking in and clocking out does not mean that I am effective. So I have worked in an environment myself where being there at 7 and still being there at 7 tonight was almost a badge of honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And some people think it's an achievement.
I reward that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so the employer almost rewards that bad behavior. And then you look at the person's to-do list and you think, but how is it possible? You are always here. On weekends, I get emails from you on a Saturday and on a Sunday and at 3 o'clock in the morning, yet there is no delivery. So for me, if I go to productivity and efficiency, it is someone that can take the task that is assigned to them, the outcome that is required, and deliver on that in the smartest possible way.
16 minutes after 11 o'clock, how productive are you? Yes, you, in the workplace right now. Do you struggle to be productive? What are some of the things that you know are the reasons why you are inefficient and you don't get through all your to-dos? And would you like to have some practical help from my expert, who's a management consultant in this area, to improve your own levels of productivity in the workplace? Give us a call, 011-883-0702 in Johannesburg, in Cape Town, 021-446-0567. I think it's very important to understand your own strengths and weaknesses. That's one strategy. We'll take a break and then talk to Lizette around that. I know, for example, that I work good under pressure in a short amount of time. So I ask myself, what do I do with that characteristic in me in relation to my KPIs here at work? And if you know what kind of environment, setups, processes, will result in you being suboptimal in terms of your behavior at work, then you can have a discussion with your team, with your bosses, with your managers about that as well. And I wonder whether you've ever given thought to that, or whether you feel compelled to simply be working in the way in which you are told you need to be working, even if it doesn't necessarily result in you being as productive as you might otherwise be.
702 and Cape Talk.
World of Work.
20 minutes after 11 o'clock, we're talking about productivity in the workplace. How productive are you? What are the things that make you not as productive as you should be, besides listening to the wireless, Timothy?
Hello, Eusebius. You're so naughty. You know that. Anyway, you know, I used to work for a company that, you know, in the morning, I wasn't productive at all. Like, I'll sit in the office and just abuse internet and do absolutely nothing. But from 3 o'clock, that's when I was so productive. And instead of knocking off at a regular time, I would leave the office like around about 8, 9, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm actually in business, I find it very difficult just to work in the morning, because around about 8 o'clock, look, I'll get up, you know, around about 4 and start to do something, especially when I'm under pressure, and start to do something. Around about 8 o'clock, I'm so tired. I just want to jump back in bed and sleep, like take the power nap, and then wake up again and work, you know, in the afternoon. And when I'm under pressure, I'm like an, you know, an oil machine. Like I work up until I deliver.
And does that bother you? It would only be a problem if, for example, there are important meetings, stakeholders you need to meet that do not fit into your own pattern. So it's a highly individualized question, I would imagine, then.
No, it does. And, you know, that's the reason, you know, most of my clients, I even tell them sometimes to say, listen, you're going to get my email around about 3 or 4 o'clock in the early hours of the morning. Because then that's when I somehow feel like, well, I need to do something. And after that, if you send me an email during the day, please don't expect me to, you know, to reply to it. You know, I'll make them aware. Please do not, because if you do, then, yeah, you're putting me under pressure, and I hate to be under pressure.
Lizette, I suppose a wonderful insight from Timothy's last comment is you manage the expectations of the people you work with, including your clients.
Absolutely. And I think, Timothy, you said something very important that also links to what you said before the break, is know yourself. So know what works. I am horrible in the afternoon. So if you catch me in the mornings, then I am super duper, and I'll probably irritate the likes of you because I'm on top of the world and I'm really productive. My problem is that from about in the afternoon, I can really feel myself waning. And so when I work within my confines, I will say, you know what, I'm most productive in the morning. The stuff that needs full attention, that needs a lot of energy, let me try and prioritize that for the morning. But that links to, if I'm in the workplace, we don't always have that luxury. You know, if you work for yourself, then that's all cool. But what you can do is have those conversations around expectation. And as a team, say, okay, guys, what works for us? What doesn't work for us? What are the things that we need from each other in order to support each other? So if I have to deliver on something, I'm going to need an hour of 100% uninterrupted time. Is that okay when I go and I sit in a little meeting room and I quickly punch that out? So those kind of conversations, setting expectations and understanding where we can support each other in the workplace is absolutely crucial. Because that's the stuff that will make us more efficient. And we as a well-oiled machine are then much more able to deliver on our outcomes.
How much should we try and standardize processes and templates in the workplace at the level of the organization? And how much should we allow for diversity of individual members of our team?
It's not a clear-cut answer. It will depend on the nature of your work. So, for instance, in environments, I have got clients that are in heavy industrial environments, and they've got very specific standards that they have to meet. They have to standardize things far more, and they've got far less scope to allow for individuality. Whereas I have other employers who are highly individual and saying the seniority of this team allows for this to work like that. Whereas in a contact center, you might not have that. So I think the employer definitely needs to ask the question and say, how do we structure this? And how do we focus our energy, not in line with just my leadership style, but also what my team needs? And I think that is really a conversation that goes to how do we do things here and why do we do it?
Absolutely. Masa Chaba, good morning.
Good morning, Yesibeth. How do you do?
Productive.
I'm a founder for a company for an industrial engineering consulting company, and ours is to make sure that everything happens at that most optimal level.
Mm.
Now, we've since had a challenge that the staggering 87% of employees worldwide are not engaged, so they absolutely hate what they're doing. Now, how do you then become efficient when you yourself are not at your best? So some of the key points that I'd like to share with your listeners, and hopefully they'll be able to help them, is you need to find your passions, almost like list 5 of them. Those will be your motivators, and find how anywhere could they be intersected. And then you need to find flow. So you need to be able to, like a bicycle, you know, when it's going at a higher speed, you got to find a way of doing stuff. So a process for yourself that is subconsciously in your head. You wake up, you do it without having to think. And lastly is grit, just to be the best when you are feeling at your worst. If we can practice that under pressure, feeling the worst, absolutely tired, and you can still inspire people or you could still lead, then you are okay. Because when pressure comes, it does not, you're not going to remember to stay calm logic. You need to remember your training. So you need to remember how to handle it at your worst.
Okay, that's interesting. That's Lizette, what do you say to that?
I couldn't agree more, Sitchaba. I think that for me, you know, I talk about the fact that you also need to understand, how do I cope? Put in, when you are at your worst, what are my coping mechanisms? You know, and not just in the workplace, but also outside. So that when I don't feel like it, which we sometimes don't, that I still muster the courage and say, you know what, I'm just going to do this thing. I'm doing this because afterwards I'm going to go for a great workout and then I know I'm going to feel better.
Mm.
So those kind of things, finding passion and motivators 100%. Sometimes we don't have that luxury of doing exactly what we're passionate about, but trying to find solutions to that passion, that motivation. And sometimes, you know, doing it outside of the workplace. So I'm very passionate about children, so I'll do some volunteering on the weekends. Those kind of things where you don't have the luxury of the passion within the workplace, try and find solutions internally, but also search for your passion outside of the workplace so that you can bring that energy back into the workplace.
Just one or two last little behavioral things, some quick wins, as it were, but I'm not sure how quick these are because depending on the season, there seems to be different books that trend on these things. The one moment you are told it's important to understand the art of saying no. The next moment you are told, say yes, and everything will be unlocked that's good in your life.
Mm. I have to say I'm a big fan of flexing that no muscle. But you have to learn how to do it. For a lot of us culturally, if a superior says do something, we will not, you know, I used to think, oh no, I can't say no. The problem with that is if you don't learn to say no in a respectful, thoughtful and unapologetic manner, you do get overload. So I'm not a big fan of always saying yes. There is obviously a place for doing that. But the problem is by not learning to flex that muscle, you do run the risk of having so much to do that you become completely inefficient. And then you do have to stay at the office till 10 at night. So I'm a big fan, but it is a muscle that we have to flex and learn to use respectfully and responsibly.
And then lastly, particularly in team settings where your job is not individualistic, where you have to scaffold one another, how important is delegating? Some people have trust issues. Presumably a precondition for delegating effectively is trusting your team members that you have either hired or that have been hired with you. But that too can be an important determinant of levels of productivity.
Yeah, and I think that is something, you know, there's a few rules around delegation, and that is where at all possible, try and delegate whole tasks, but then also learn to understand what that person requires. So upfront to say, what do you need from me, and how can I support you, and how do we check into each other? Because the worst thing for me is, please don't look over my shoulder. But some people will say, I need you to check in with me, or can I come and check in with you? So, again, having those conversations around how do we interface with each other, especially in organizations that are very matrix-driven, you know, the IT, the project environments, where my work is dependent on yours. There I would say, honestly, have conversations, open, learn how to set your expectations, and then how to check in. And trust is built over time. And so you will learn who you need to maybe nudge a little bit and who you can just leave, and they will deliver on time every time.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Lizette, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Have a lovely day.
Cheers. That was Lizette Bester, who's a management consultant at People Solve HR.